It's Thursday, October 29th. Welcome to week 8. We were so close to 5-0 last week. We had a missed extra point by the Browns at the very end of their game against the Bengals and the Seahawks. Penalty on the field goal. We had a chance to cover there as well, but we had 3-1-1, third straight winning week. We're back to preview all the games this week. Welcome in, Matt Ford. I'm Jeff Schwartz. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. Welcome back, everyone. Three straight winning weeks, Matt, is good. This week, though, is a complete poo fest. It is. These lines are terrible. They're not good. We will find you five games. We'll work our way through it. We'll have another winning week. But it feels like, and I'm shocked to say week 8, Matt, but it feels like Vegas is kind of honing in now on what they should be doing with these numbers.
I guess. There are some that are a little bit strange, and even the huge one this week, we were just going back and forth, doesn't really make a ton of sense. But can we just, how many hearts has Cody Parkey broken?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that missed extra point. What's funny is, so the line was 3, that extra point right. was to go up 4, and I didn't know who the Browns kicker was, right? It used to be that Seibert guy. What was that guy's name? Yeah. He was good, whoever it was.
It doesn't matter. It's the kicker.
Whatever. And then you see it, and they were like, okay, and red zone cut away because it's like, oh, who cares about the extra point? And I was like, I care a lot about this extra point, Scott Hansen. Do not cut away. And then they cut back, and they have the font. It's like Cody Parkey is the kicker. And I was like, we're fucked. Like, no chance. This we're done. Call this a push. And it's, obviously, that's exactly what happened, so. Pretty good week, though. I'll take 3-1-1.
What was incredible about that was I have my 3 TVs in my room. And about the last 7 minutes of that early window, thank you. I use my iPad, too. As I stand in front of the TVs, just like pace back and forth, like as I watch anything. Because, look, we had the Steelers game as well, which we were on the right side, I thought. But obviously, they could have easily not covered that game. Yeah, and the Browns, and we're texting me and you back and forth. And when the Browns scored, I was like doing like a happy dance. And I was like, because I knew that we at least that we pushed. Now, the number in that week really was like 3.5, right? We got a good number with the Super Contest. So a lot of people got screwed on that part. Yep. But it's just like, it's so gambling to be like literally fist pumping like in your man cave and then just Cody Parkey just tears your heart to shreds as the Browns come back and cover that game. So we have to, let's get back to it. I think we're 18-15-1, somewhere around there, or 15-3, I should say. 18-15-3, whatever it is. We had a good week. We'll have another good week for you guys. Let's get started with the Thursday night football game.
Yeah, man, let's do it. It's going to be a really interesting game this week. It's an NFC South game. The Falcons are at the Panthers. Panthers are 2.5-point home favorites. We usually don't even really engage with these Thursday night games, but I'm curious if you have a feel this week.
Well, so here's my, if you want to call it an issue with this game is that I feel like the Panthers now, and they still are like covering machine, are like too public now, right? Like everyone wants to bet the Panthers. Everyone wants to bet the Panthers. And they're under a field goal, which makes sense. But I don't know, Matt. I feel like the Panthers could be a great play here. It's a short week, though. It's Matt Rhule's first short week. But the Falcons keep finding ways to lose every weekend. Did you see the video today of Todd Gurley? Of Matt Ryan telling Todd Gurley to not score a touchdown in the huddle, explicitly told him, do not score a touchdown. What does he do? He scores a touchdown. And they lose on the last play of the game. So I don't know how you feel about this. I can be convinced to go to Carolina, but we typically stay away from Thursday. But I'd love to hear if you have a thought on this one.
I don't. I was kind of hoping you did because it feels like this is one that we could figure out. The stat of the week, I think, is road dogs of 6 or fewer this season are 27-12 against the spread, which is kind of strange. I guess maybe because there's no home crowds, like that has tipped the scales a little bit, but we're certainly not taking Atlanta, although they can't keep losing games like this forever. And if McCaffrey comes back, which it's possible, that certainly like changes things for Carolina. I know that you don't really value running backs much, but if he comes back, I would consider the Panthers because then we'd sort of be getting a free point or two. But until we know that, I'm not really sure I would want to take this one.
Yeah, Rhule is 1-2 so far as a favorite, and the Panthers in general have covered. They're 1-5-1 in the last 7 games as a favorite. So you know we can get back to this one if we don't like other ones. But the next game is. The one I'm having the most trouble with this week. So let's get to that one.
Yeah, so it's the game of the week. It's the Steelers at the Ravens. The Ravens in the Super Contest are 4-point favorites. Yeah. This line has been all over the place, so it's interesting that's where it landed.
So this game spooks the heck out of me, all right? And I'll tell you why. And actually, I'll use some reasoning for the Steelers game last weekend about why I think the right side is Baltimore in this one, but we'll get into this in a second. So first of all, these teams are almost, at least analytically, DVOA, EPA, like mirror images, right? Baltimore and Pittsburgh are right around the same in offense and the same in defense. Obviously, Pittsburgh 6-0, Baltimore is 5-1, I believe. Yeah, it's 5-1 off a bye this weekend. So here's the point I made last weekend about the Steelers that would make me bet on the Ravens is the Steelers opened last weekend as a 2-point favorite at Tennessee. And that told you that Vegas thought they're the better team, right? On the road, 2 5-0 teams, the opening line is very important. The opening line here was 5.5. That's a lot of points for the Ravens. Like, I mean, that's a lot of, Vegas is telling you that they think the Ravens are that much better than the Steelers. Now, the line came back down to 3, went back up to 4. So the Ravens, in my opinion, is the play here, right? You're not going to get an opportunity to, like, a higher point for the Steelers, right, too. Like, I feel like it's just but the thing that spooks me is that I've been on the Steelers all year, dude, and I've been pretty right on the Steelers. And I don't want to be wrong at taking the Ravens here, but I think the Ravens is probably the right play.
Yeah, the Ravens are the right play. Well, one of the reasons that we like Pittsburgh, and I'll get to this with another team later, is Pittsburgh's covered every game but one. And that's despite... They've only had one blowout victory, right? They beat Cleveland 2 weeks ago in a game I think that we were put in our contest, or maybe I wanted to and you wouldn't let me. I actually don't remember. But I think so. Baltimore this season, I think, has been flying a little bit under the radar because the games that they've won, like, no one's even watched because it's been out of hand really early. And then they had a tough game against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think Baltimore is definitely the right side here. Harbaugh 9-3 straight up after a bye in his career. Pittsburgh, hugely public team. The 6-0, it's sort of like at boxing when you look at an undefeated fighter and you're like, man, this guy must be awesome. But, you know, they've kind of played a bunch of tomato cans this year. If you recall, pretty close game against the Broncos in week 2. Pretty close game against the Texans in week 3. That Eagles game in week 4 was a really strange game. And then they should have probably lost last week. I'm glad they didn't. So I think Baltimore coming out of the bye, get a chance to, you know, maybe Lamar hasn't been totally healthy and they haven't exactly said it. It just feels like Baltimore is the right side here. I hate the 4, but they're a good home team. You know, Pittsburgh's coming off of a really tough, kind of lucky win. And remember, they like never in Big Ben's career, they've never been 6-0. So they've never been 7-0 either. It just feels like their comeuppance is coming. And you know that Baltimore would love to take it to them.
I mean, Baltimore right now is second in DVOA. I mean, like, they're having a good season.
Pittsburgh's third. Yeah.
And Pittsburgh's third. I mean, like, they're so close. And that's why this game spooks me a little bit is I feel like when you have two really even teams, you want to take the points, right? You want to take Pittsburgh plus 4 when you have two even teams.
Yeah.
But all the points we made about Baltimore, I think, are right. Off a bye, time to get right. Steelers right now, no hotter team in the NFL, no hotter team the public is on. I will say the one thing that I've been doing a lot this year, I think it's been helping, is looking really at the offensive line in the trenches and the matchups. And Baltimore's offensive line right now is just not what they used to be. And I do worry against a Steelers team that did really well against Tennessee, whether that be a concern. So I'm good with Baltimore minus 4, but I really don't feel great about it. Maybe at the end of the program, I'll give you a teaser I love this week. The Steelers are part of that teaser. Mm-hmm. But for right now, I'm good with Baltimore, just maybe in the maybe pile. Maybe pile or
yeah,
or
yes, let's put pile. Them in the maybes.
Okay.
I'm not dying to bet against Pittsburgh. Yeah. Okay. So we got one maybe. All right. Here, if we're going to do this now, the New York Jets are playing the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, and the Chiefs are 19.5-point favorites.
Okay, so let's look at the Jets this season. Obviously, 0-7 and 0-7 against the spread, I believe, right? They have not covered yet. That's a spread. So they've scored 17, 13, 7, a 28 spot against the Broncos, 10, 0, and 10, okay? So let's just say for shits and giggles, they score 14 points this week. Okay. Are the Chiefs going to score less than 35?
I mean, it's possible. By the way, they did cover last week, the Jets. So I
Oh, they finally covered. Six. Okay.
Yeah. They
okay.
they got within, they got to 8-point loss to Buffalo.
Well, yeah, it's 18 to 10. I don't want to bet this game. I know people that are sharp that have. It's shocking to me, but they have because the Jets are that bad. The one concern I have is over the years, the Chiefs have kind of been known to just like shut things down the second half of games. I mean, they could easily be up 28-7 at halftime. Just say like, we're just shutting it down and just lose 28-14. Like it's possible that that's the case. So, I mean, the play here is the Chiefs. I think we can find better games. And I mean, maybe we can't. Maybe at the end of this, we come back and we're like, I like the Chiefs a lot.
Yeah. So first of all, I've saved the Chiefs in Survivor just out of luck. And that's a pretty easy choice for me this week to take the Chiefs. Feel good about that one. So we were talking about this before the show. This happens once in a while where you get one of these huge 20-plus point favorites. Six out of the last seven times the underdog covered, I think precisely because of that reason, Jeff, that you said of like, you know, Chad Henne played at the end of the game last week. Like he could very well play it starting in the third quarter this week. Like Pat Mahomes isn't going to go out there and do any extra. I do think Le'Veon Bell will get some work in this game, which will just be unbelievable to watch on Twitter, the meltdown. But I'm curious if you're in the Jets locker room, like, is this a thing players know about? Like, this is a huge spread. Like, this isn't a historic spread.
No.
You know, it was 27, 2013, the Broncos were favored over the Jaguars in a game I remember well. But yeah, would a player like know that this is a thing?
I don't think so. They just know they're not very good. I don't think they know that they're this big of under. I don't think they realize that. No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the Chiefs are maybe, I mean, I don't, that's, it's very like unprincipled to do that, but I think that anyone would say that the Chiefs are, you know, four touchdowns better than the Jets. So
agreed. Maybe. I mean, this is a soft, maybe not a firm, maybe
soft as hell. Maybe. All right. Next game is Tennessee 5.5-point road favorites at the Cincinnati Bengals, who can't stop covering games. What do you like?
Yeah, they've been covering machines. I mean, I guess at some point you think they're gonna stop covering these games. Look, I lean the Bengals here for a lot of reasons. One is that, you know, everyone's gonna bet Tennessee in this spot, you know, off a loss, and the Bengals just aren't very good. So everyone's gonna bet Tennessee, right? There's just a ton of money pouring on Tennessee. Opened at 4, it's now 5.5. But the Tennessee Titans cannot stop a soul, Matt. They are terrible on third down. This is the reason I liked them last weekend. Excuse me, the Steelers last weekend, because the Titans are terrible. In the first half, Pittsburgh was 7-for-7 on third down. And so I'm thinking Burrow's going to backdoor cover this game. That's like my best angle for the Bengals, because otherwise there's no other angle to give, right? They're not very good anywhere. I can't say, oh, look at this position. They're really going to do well, except Burrow. Burrow's playing out of his mind, 400 yards last weekend, and didn't cover. I get that, but led the team down with 60 seconds left. They're winning. They're covering that game. So I just think it's just it's the first cold weather weekend in the NFL. It's going to be a little bit cold, chilly this weekend. Titans are coming from Nashville. I don't know. It just feels like, this is a classic home dog game, right? Which we talked about. I'm not sure these are covering very much anymore.
Yeah. Well, what's kind of interesting is Tennessee, as good as they've been, they haven't been a good against the spread team this year. They're only 2-4.
Because their defense sucks.
Yeah.
They can't stop anybody.
And they've had just like some weird ass games. Like Guskowski has been all over the map.
So
good, bad, killing betters, saving betters. Saved us last week. And since he's been 5-2, and the thing that's kind of weird about this is they're not close in terms of talent level, in terms of performance, in terms of coaching. And like this one, I think I'm on the other side here, and partially something is going on with Cincinnati. Like you would think that they would be a team that's like rallying around their young quarterback. You watch the games, you like watch their body language. They all seem to hate each other. Like, something's going on there. Like, I mean, it's worse in Dallas, obviously, but there's something off.
And well, they're getting rid of, they got rid of some of those guys, though.
They did. I mean, yeah, but like Geno Atkins is still there. AJ Green is still there. And I think that Joe Mixon, I think him being out like really hurts them in a game like this. Like, I could see Tennessee doing what they do, scoring right away. Then like, okay, you know, they try to start a running game, it goes 3-and-out. Then Tennessee moves again, like right down the field. And all of a sudden, like Burrow's just going to be, you know, running for his life again. He's covered every week almost. So it's hard to say that this won't be the week, but it's like Tennessee is going to start to cover some of these games. And Cincinnati's just bad, man. They're 30th in DVOA. I think I'm on the other side here, but that line, I'm not a huge fan of 5.5. That's pretty high.
Well, no, we would not bet the Titans here. I think the play is only just the Bengals are just passed, and I'm okay with passing right now.
Yeah, let's pass it. Good luck to the Bengals, although I don't mind the Titans either. all right, next up, we've got this is a fun one, but a hard one to handicap. It's the Rams laying 3.5 playing the Dolphins in Tua's debut. Money and bets are pretty split here, about 50-50 each.
So I think the play is the Rams here, Matt, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. One is we talked about this earlier this season. They're 7-1 in this early time slot on the East Coast. Like, this has not fazed them. The idea that these West Coast teams now can't play these games is just not true. And the Rams, the one they lost was the Bills game, where they had a chance to win that game with that PI at the very end that cost them a chance to win on that big comeback. But here's why I like the Rams this weekend. One is, obviously, I think they proved that they're back to playing decent football after that Niners loss, which I was a little concerned about. They're a good football team. We talked about this all season long. But the Dolphins are 32nd against the run. Guess who's really good against the run? The Rams. Number one in the NFL against the Rams. So I think that advantage is huge here. Plus, Tua, I mean, he's his first game after getting crushed the last time he started a football game where he dislocated his hip. Yeah. I don't know what to expect from him. I don't know how you can bet on the Dolphins all in this game. I feel very comfortable with the Rams here, minus the 3.5.
It's interesting. I was probably going to pass this, but I think you may have talked me into it. I think the other thing to consider here is, like, if this were Fitzpatrick, I'm pretty sure that this would probably be like 4.5, and I would be hammering the Dolphins, because you know how I feel about betting the Dolphins with Fitzpatrick. I feel like they're giving Tua a little boost here simply because of how good Burrow's been and how good Herbert's been. We don't know if Tua's going to be good, and like, they're not doing this because this was the plan, it seems like, right? Like, this seems like this was the plan to put Tua in after the bye, because clearly, like, Fitzpatrick didn't do anything badly, that he's been incredible for them. And they're, you know, they're a legitimate playoff team at the moment. So I agree. It feels like there could potentially be some growing pains. Tua looked a little a beat slow in that, you know, series he played against the Jets. Like, I was watching, I think it was the only game on, and he was like not the crispest coming out, you know, against a really bad defense. So I think I'm with you.
I just think you have Aaron Donald again. I mean, the Dolphins rank 25th in pass blocking according to Pro Football Focus. They're not much better in run blocking. So I think that you're looking at a situation where you just have a better trench matchup, right, between the Rams against the Dolphins. Better defense with the Rams against Tua the first time. I feel good. 3.5 isn't my favorite number in the world, but look, they don't have Fitz anymore. Fitz was their covering machine. Typically, you fade rookies in their first game against a good team.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going. Yeah, shout out to the Dolphins, though, man. They have such like a fun group of specialists of like guys no one's heard of but are really good, like Preston Williams and Miles Gaskin and Mike Gesicki. Like, they have a fun little team.
Well, they're good. I mean, they're good. They're well coached. That's why.
Yeah. All right, let's put the Rams into the tier above the maybes that feels like they're probably yes. All right, next one is a game I just already dread that we're definitely going to pick.
I promise you we aren't.
We're not taking the Colts. They're only laying 2.5 against the Lions.
We have been off the Colts this entire podcast. Why now are we on the Colts all of a sudden?
Matt Patricia could be why. I mean, I hate betting on Phillip Rivers. You know, this is one of those where you're a big DVOA guy, Jeff, and this is a DVOA game. Indy is fifth in DVOA.
I don't get that, man.
I don't either. Their offense sucks, but Detroit, I think everyone is like feeling pretty good about because they beat Jacksonville and they beat Atlanta. Like, are we sure that actually matters? The Colts are coming off of a bye. Frank Reich has won both games off of a bye in his head coaching career and has covered both spreads. I think in some places you could say 1-0-1.
Yeah.
Feels like a good sell high opportunity. on Detroit, who I think is like a very below average team. If Indy is as good as everyone says they are, this feels like they could easily win this one going away.
Oh, man. I was hoping you were going to convince me not to bet this game.
Oof. I mean, this is one where I think you have to, like, 2.5. If the Colts are that good, if they're a top 7 team, which everyone but us thinks, this is like not a game we're going to be sweating too much.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dan Orlovsky tweeted out that he thinks that the Lions made some structural changes on offense, and that's in general, and that's why he said here that they played more zone coverage. Jeff Okuda's playing really well. All right, I mean, I could put the Colts down as a maybe. I'm good with that. I was that one pick a week for the Matt Ford special.
I don't know if this is going to be mine, but I do think that the Colts are the right side here. Matt Patricia, I mean, remember, they beat the Jags and they beat the Falcons in a game that they lost 10 different times. Like, they're not a good team.
I'm with you, buddy. I agree. Like, they have problems, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of bad teams, the New England Patriots. That's a fun segue I haven't been able to do in 22 years. They're 3.5-point dogs at Buffalo. And spoiler alert here, like, I have no interest in touching this.
Yeah, we could just pass this one. I'm out. I'm same with you. I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this game at all.
What would you take if you had to take a side?
I would probably lean. I'd probably lean Buffalo here. I think the Patriots are just, they're just having issues right now. It's very simple, but I don't want to bet the Bills.
Yeah, I know. There's part of me that's like, is this an opportunity to bet Buffalo? But like, they've been so up and down, and it feels like they can never cover anything. They're always kicking field goals. Patriots, you know, they're going to get it right at some point. But yeah, let's lay off this one. The next one, I'm a little worried. I think we're on different sides. This is the Raiders +2.5 at the Browns. What side are you?
So you go first, because I'm looking up one more thing that I knew I should have looked up earlier. So make your pitch for the Vegas Raiders. You're going to be wrong, and I'll tell you why. Go ahead.
Oh, perfect. All right. So first of all, Vegas last week was close with Tampa pretty much the whole game, right? Like, it got away from them at the end. But despite all of the offensive line problems with COVID, Trent Brown being out, and the rest of the offensive line not really being able to practice, they were still in that game against the team that you yourself say is the best team in the league. The Browns are coming off a miraculous win against the Bengals, one of the worst teams in the league, where they had to pull that one out of their ass, and they lost their top receiving weapon for the season. I think everyone watched the Browns play last week, and everyone wants the Browns to be good, so they like to bet on them. But meanwhile, the Raiders are, I think they've shown to be a pretty good team that's played with top competition this year. These teams are next to each other in DVOA. And again, this is that stat from earlier. Road dogs of 6 or fewer are 27-12 against spread this year. I think this is a really good buy low spot for the Raiders and a good sell high spot on the Browns.
Hear me out on the Browns. I think I have to make a compelling case here. So a couple of things. Derek Carr has not been good with a little colder outside. All right. We know that in the past, he's now 0-10 in games where the temp is under 50 degrees. It's supposed to be 51 in Cleveland, so I'm kind of stretching it a little bit here. It's supposed to be raining, cold, windy, 51 degrees, might get even colder by kickoff in Cleveland. So right now, I'm like, okay, Raiders passing game, a little hampered with this. But let's talk about the Browns really quick before we get back to the Raiders. Let's talk about the Browns, okay? So their style of play is run the football. This is their style of play to win, right? Run the football and put Baker in situations to pass the ball, play action pass, bootlegs, keep out of third down. Cleveland Browns offensive line is ranked number one by Pro Football Focus in running the football, run blocking, and pass protection. The Raiders are terrible against the run. They're terrible at pass rush. They're bad at all the things that the Browns are really good at. The Browns will be able to control the tempo and pace of this game, and they'll win this game by a touchdown doing so, right? They're going to keep Baker Mayfield upright. They're going to run the football. On the flip side, like I mentioned, the Raiders pass the ball. They play okay this year. But the deep passing game, which is what they've relied on to beat the Chiefs, wasn't really there last weekend. Take out the first 2 weeks of the season. They've scored 23, 20, 20, and that 40-point game against the Chiefs, where the Chiefs just said, hey, look, we're going to not allow Carter throw anything underneath, and we're going to test him out deep. And he did it deep. So now I get rain, wind, cold, and the Raiders' only chance to score a bunch of points is deep passing because they can't run the football anymore. I think the Browns are the play here, man. And so I look, you can take the Raiders as a public play with Derek Carr in the rain and cold, if you would like. If that's the play you want to make, be my guest to do that. But I like the Browns here. I just think that they played well against like good to bad teams, right? They played poorly against the Ravens Steelers. The Raiders are just like a good team. They're just like, okay. So we're going with the Browns here.
Pretty good case, Jeff. Pretty good case. Vegas 31st in defensive DVOA. Not great. You're right that the offense has been good, but they haven't played a cold weather game. The thing that's so crazy about the Raiders is like, they've made these reclamation projects work. Like, you know, Nelson Agholor is like unstoppable all of a sudden, which is just hilarious for Philly. You're right. Like if in those cold weather games, it's a little harder to do that vertical stuff. All right, I'll do it. It feels like the Raiders tend to play to their competition, which has benefited them because they've played some pretty good teams. Cleveland's 3-4 against the spread this year. Raiders 3-3. So yeah, this is probably a pretty fair line. But you're right. If the public's all over the Raiders, then let's do it. Let's take the Browns.
Let's go to the next one. I like the Browns here.
Next one, we've got Minnesota going to the Packers. Minnesota, a team that was in disarray earlier, coming off a bye, 6.5 points for Green Bay. What do you think?
Until I saw the 6.5 points, and then I'm like, I'm in on the Packers. So here's why. I mean, it's the same kind of thing we've been saying all year. I mean, there's nothing. They have crushed the bad teams they've played. They've crushed them. And guess what? The Vikings are a bad team in a fire sale right now, right? They traded Ngakoue. They cut a secondary player who wasn't playing well for them anyways. Like, they're in full, like, let's just get to next year mode, in my opinion. They have not been good. They laid an egg against the Falcons. Off a bye. They've won one of the last six games. I know this is not straight up, but they've not been good off a bye. Everyone's like, off a bye. They've been good off a bye. So I get the Packers, who stop them this time around.
I came into this wanting to pick the Vikings because, you know, I think that everyone's down on them and they have a great coach. You know, traditionally, what scares me is Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer might be playing for their careers legitimately. Like, you could see Kirk.
Both got new extensions.
Well, Cousins, I mean, those guaranteed money. Sour. I think you're right. I mean, the thing with Green Bay that kind of scares me is they're fourth on offense. They're only 10th in DVOA despite how dominant they've looked on offense. They have the personnel on defense. Yeah, they have the personnel on defense, but for whatever reason, they haven't really put it together. I hate that so if you're right that Minnesota is just blowing it up, that, you know, the Ngakoue thing just like didn't work out for whatever reason. Shout out to Maryland grad Yannick Ngakoue. I think that the other way to look at this is Minnesota has their back against the wall. They're playing a division game.
They had their back against the wall against the Falcons and lost.
Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Like, you know, and also too, like, let me pull this up to pile on even more. By the way, a lot of games this weekend, I like the over. Where's my stats here too? The Packers have covered three straight against this team as well. So like, I just don't think the Vikings are very good. And 6.5 is better than 7. I thought it was gonna be 7 or 7.5.
Yeah,
I'll take 6.5.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm in. Any chance I get to take the Packers as a favorite, I feel like I always bet it. I can't quit Aaron Rodgers. Let's do it.
Nope, I can't either. All right, next game.
All right. You just talked me into two in a row. That's pretty good. All right, this one I have a very strong opinion about. It's the Chargers 3-point road favorites at Denver. What side are you on?
I have no opinion on this game whatsoever. Be my guest to make your case. Oh, I think boy. I know. I think I know which way you're going to go, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going with Denver. A few problems with this line. First of all, 90% of the money on a road favorite that's very unproven this season. That's the first red flag. You almost always hold your nose whenever a 2-4 team is favored on the road in Denver, by the way, which is a notoriously difficult place to win. Look, we're coming off Justin Herbert's first win. The Chargers, super under the radar this season, Jeff. They're 5-1 against the spread. They have the best against the spread record in the league, along with Green Bay and Pittsburgh. That's a team that now, all of a sudden, everyone who's bet the Chargers every week has that good feeling about them, right? Oh, it's the Chargers. Like, Herbert, like, they've been covering. I'm going to keep riding with the Chargers. It's going to come to a close at some point. And I think this is the week. Very difficult to win in Denver. Denver is, I think, probably the better team overall. Obviously, the quarterback thing is a little bit of a problem. But Herbert's going against the 7th best defense in DVOA this week. I think this is just one of those where the spot, it doesn't even really totally matter what the teams are. This is one of those where you just hold your nose and you bet the Chargers and you fade a team that's riding really high.
You bet the Broncos.
I'm sorry, bet the Broncos. Yep.
Oh boy. I mean, you're not wrong about what you said. This is the one you love this week, right?
Yeah. I mean, so you talk about the cold weather games, like Justin Herbert, he's going to go to Denver. He's going to go to Mile High and come off of a win where he's valued super high and go win this game. He's the favorite for rookie of the year now.
I'm just really concerned about Drew Lock and that offense. I mean, if the Chargers score 17, 21 points, I mean, is Denver going to score 17 points?
I mean, Denver they've had such an up and down season. I feel like it's hard to ever predict like exactly what team is going to show up. Yeah, I mean, their only 30 point explosion was against the Jets. So that doesn't really count, but they did put up that 21 against the Steelers.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just fading the momentum.
Every week we save a pick for the one you like the most, because you've been right on a lot of these. And so I want to save you this pick. So if you love the Broncos, I'm good putting them in. Yeah. It's a hold your nose and bet game.
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Matt loves it. We're in.
We're in.
Okay.
Let's go. All right. We've got a few more left, and it sounds like we have three and a couple of maybes. Next up is Saints Bears. 4.5 points for the Saints at Chicago. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. This is talk about a hold your nose and bet game right here, right? I mean, the play is the Bears, but I'm not betting the Bears. No. I'm not doing it. So we're just off this game. It's not happening.
Nope. Not touching it. No thanks.
Look, Nate Tice, who I love following on Twitter. He's fantastic, by the way. You should go follow him. I think it's at Nate Tice or an underscore Nate_Tice. Mike Tice's son. nice. He's a great follow on Twitter, Matt. Go follow him. He's fantastic.
I will.
He compared Drew Brees throwing the ball this past weekend to a Jamie Moyer fastball. Okay. Like the ball just like, okay.
Yep.
And he's going to Soldier Field this weekend where it's going to be miserably cold and it's going to be windy. And I would love to bet the Bears here. I would love to bet the Bears. But man, their offense is so much of a poofecta. I can't do it. Like I just can't do it. So I'm going to be out on this game whatsoever.
I'm with you. Let's pass it. Yeah, no chance of my taking the Bears. Okay, next up, Niners at Seahawks. Seahawks 3-point favorites. Feels like a surprising line. Okay. A week ago, this would not have been the line. What do you think?
Yeah, so the line, I think, opened here at 5, right? And shot all the way down to 3 after opened at 5. It's actually, it's 3 in the SuperCon. It's down to 2.5 now for the Niners. So the value here is not on the Niners exactly, but I like the Niners here, Matt, in this situation for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, Seattle right now, home field advantage is not a thing in the NFL anymore, right? Especially this season with no fans. They're 5-9 against a spread at home in their last 14 games. That's very un-Seattle-like, but they're not very good at home anymore. Niners, by the way, are 10-2 against a spread on the road. So get the trends out of the way. But the bigger point about why the Seahawks, in my opinion, are 5-9 against the spread at home is they're very bad on defense. And you can't get stops. You can't cover football games. And their defense cannot get stops. Carlos Dunlap is not even playing this weekend. He doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't add very much to this. Seattle's defense, 25th on third down. They get no pressure whatsoever. They're 30th in passing defense. I don't understand how we expect them to stop the Niners, who, by the way, I was off on them a couple weeks ago. They went from 22nd in offense and EPA the last two weeks against two good defenses, right? The Rams and Niners, they're seventh in offense. Like, their offense is now kind of getting back in the rhythm. Jimmy G is healthier now. They've had some injuries. It's unfortunate on their offense, but they're kind of just, the Shanahan thing is kind of going now, man. Like, the screens, the runs, the passes, the deep passes. Okay, Kittle, Jamal Adams might be back, which will help for Seattle's defense as well. But how healthy can he be? Seattle's going to score points, don't get me wrong, but the Niners defense, by the way, eighth in DVOA. Like, they're okay on defense. Yeah. So the Niners, in my opinion, get enough stops in this game for them to cover it. I think they kind of might win outright, but I'll take the 3 points.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's do it. I think I also think a pretty underrated piece of this is the Chris Carson injury. Chris Carson has been, I think, underrated in general. I just had his average yards per carry up, but he's been super effective for them. He's averaging almost 5 yards a carry this year. He's week to week. He might not play. San Francisco. I think this is one of those where we all watched them earlier in the year. They look terrible. Everyone wrote them off. And for the last couple of weeks, if you were on them, which we have been a few times, you're getting some sneaky value. And this is one of those spots where you're right. Like, Seattle, every single game, they're letting teams back into it. They're having to do some heroics late. And, you know, if the Niners can sort of clamp down early, then they could steal this one and win outright. This is a fun money line play.
It is a fun money line play.
So next up, Jeff, NFC East battle of the century. The Cowboys are going to the Eagles. The Cowboys are 7.5-point dogs to Philadelphia. Are we doing this?
7.5 feels too much, dude. Right? Or am I crazy?
Am I crazy? Because I actually don't feel like it's that much. Andy Dalton's probably not going to play this week, so they have a third-string quarterback from JMU coming in there. The Eagles are getting healthier, okay? Every single one of their injuries, the only one that doesn't seem to be trending in the right direction is Alshon Jeffrey, but it's possible that Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson are going to play this week. What do the Cowboys do well? Like, I think this, you could make this 14 points and I'd be like, that makes sense. I feel like for whatever reason, Vegas is a little bit behind on taking out the impact of Dak. And now even the impact of Dalton here, I have a feeling this is going to get to like 10. So this is a weird game to say that I like, but I think I do really like Philly here. With a quarterback that is going to just be completely over his head and a team that just looks completely lifeless.
Ooh. Oh, man. I mean, the Eagles barely beat the Giants the other day.
The Giants are significantly better than this Cowboys team with this. I'm sorry, I keep blanking on the quarterback's name.
Who doesn't matter. That's the point of your discussion. Believe it or not, Dallas is 31 in DVOA and the Eagles have actually moved up to 25 now.
25.
I think you're right here, but oh geez, the hook is just brutal. I mean, this is like a 28-10 game, something like that.
I mean, can Dallas gave up 30 plus to the Washington football team last week, who it seems like, I don't think they had scored 30 points the whole season. Like, their defense is like tragic. Like, you watch them and you're like, what happened to this team? And look, I think they're getting the center back. That might help. But like, Ben DiNucci against Fletcher Cox, like, are we dumb for not taking the 7.5?
It's almost one of those like too good to be true lines, right?
Yeah,
like,
but
it just feels too easy.
But why? Like, I don't know. I think we should consider this.
I put it down in the group of bets we have so far.
Yeah. I would rather take this than the 19.5 of the Chiefs game.
I didn't even put the Chiefs down. Okay, that was good. Just, we were kidding. I didn't put that down. All right, we got one more game where I think that neither of us want to bet.
Yeah, this is the Monday night game. The Bucks are at the Giants. Everyone's gonna be on the Bucks, even though they're 10.5-point favorites. And we are sure as hell not taking the Giants, right?
No, we're sure. I'm not taking the Bucks in this game.
So we're laying off of that one. So now we can just move to the maybes.
So here we go. Here's the games that we have written down. So we have Baltimore -4, and then that's a maybe, correct?
Yeah.
We have Indy -2.5 as a maybe. I have the Rams as a yes, correct? -3.5.
Yep.
Cleveland -2.5. Green Bay -6.5 is a yes. And Denver -3 is a yes.
+3.
We have San Francisco +3 and Philly -7.5. So you love Philly. I love San Francisco. What do you want to do here?
So I mean, we don't have to do Indy and Denver. I feel like I was strong on each of those. I would be happy to lose one of them if you felt better about something else. I feel
which one of those two do you like best? Indy off a bye, going to Detroit inside, so Rivers' arm will be fine.
Yeah, let's take that one. I mean,
instead of Denver,
the Denver one is a situational one that I feel like could just go wrong immediately.
All right, so Indy -2.5, and then we got, and then so what do you want to do? San Francisco -3 or Philly -7.5, or do you want to do Baltimore? I feel like Baltimore. I just want to stay away from that game.
Do we have the Rams locked in?
We don't. I mean, we could get rid of them, I guess. I just think the Rams. I mean, wouldn't we take the opportunity to bet to take a team with a top 10 DVOA? They're seventh, by the way. On DVOA and bet them against a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. All right.
3.5 points. I feel like that's just like, I mean, I know that Burrow and Tua have done a good job so far, but typically not all rookie quarterbacks play well.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've got four. We've got the Rams. We got the Colts. We got the Browns. We got the Packers.
Yeah.
And then we're deciding between Denver, San Francisco, Baltimore, and Philly.
Yeah. And by the way, we can also do what we've done in the past, which is like leave this open.
Well, let's make a call for the show. Let's make a call for the show. And then we can always change offline, but let's see.
Yeah.
Which one do you feel least good about? I think Baltimore is the one I would probably feel the least confident about.
Yeah, I'm throwing Baltimore out. I just don't want to bet. I think Baltimore is the right side, but I just don't want to bet that game. I feel gross about it.
Yep, me too. I think Denver's a good spot. I think San Francisco, you made a very good case. And I think Philly could be one that we just... I feel like Philly's going to absolutely torch Dallas, but it's also Philly. So, you know, Carson Wentz sometimes lays an egg against sloppy competition. So why don't we lose that?
They're public. Oh, geez, we're gonna regret not taking Philly and the Chiefs probably.
Let's take. So I'd be fine taking Philly and not. I feel like we go against Seattle every week, and it sucks. I hate going against Seattle because. Every week, Russ comes down to the field in the fourth quarter and murders me. Every single week.
And we're not getting a great line either because it opened at 5.
Let's pass that.
All right. I'm good with putting – so you want Philly in there?
Philly or Denver. They were my favorites.
So I'd rather have Denver. I'd rather have Philly, by the way. I mean, the Chargers have good pieces, and Herbert's playing really good football. I just don't trust Drew Locke at all, like 0%. I trust Carson Wentz over Drew Locke.
Dude, let's fade Ben DiNucci on the road. Like, Philly's off a bye. Let's go.
No, off a short week. Short week. A Thursday game.
Excuse me. Yes.
Thursday game.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so Rams -3.5.
Like Daniel Jones, excuse me.
Rams -3.5.
Yep.
Cleveland -2.5. Packers -6.5. Indy -2.5. Philly -7.5.
Let's go.
We have all favorites.
I like it.
I feel good about these.
Yeah, we're going against some bad coaches and some bad quarterbacks. I like that combo, with the exception of Flores.
Yeah, but they just I don't understand why the line is 3.5.
That's the right play. I mean,
Indy's only a 2.5 point favorite at home against. I mean, on the road against, like. I just don't understand. So the Rams would be 2.5 point favorite in Detroit too? Like I don't understand. This line makes no sense to me.
Yeah, neither of them makes sense to me.
Yeah. So all right. Well, we're good with that. Okay, guys. It's a painful week.
We got there.
I will say this. If you like a teaser, such as those things, Steelers, Eagles, Packers. Done. That to me feels like where you need to be with a teaser. It just feels like a good teaser. I mean, you're getting Steelers at what? And obviously, your book might vary on the lines, but you're getting them at 9 or 10. You're getting the Eagles down to 1.5 or 2. And then the Packers all the way down to a point. Like, that feels like it's +150, I believe. It feels like some money there.
Yeah, maybe throw in the Chiefs with 13.5. That's not bad.
I'd probably stay away from that. Just out of principle from that game. So, all right, guys. Hopefully another winning week. We're climbing up there, right? Climbing up there a little bit. 18, 15, and 1. We're chopping the wood. All right, guys. Have a great couple of days. We'll be back on Tuesday. Make sure everyone, real quickly, go vote, okay? Go vote. I know we don't talk about politics very much here. It's not political at all. Go vote, all right? Just go vote. It's our right as citizens to go vote in any election. Go do it, please, right? Early vote. send a ballot in, whatever you do, just go vote and vote for whoever you want. Just go ahead and do it, please. I think our country does not have enough people to vote. We should all vote. We should all have a federal holiday, by the way, on Tuesday. That's a maybe different podcast. But nonetheless, everyone go vote. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the football. Be back Tuesday morning with Gabe. Have a great weekend, everybody.